You.
And also with you.
Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It is really a shock and a surprise to see all of you here today. Thanks be to God. I told Vicar that we should have at least 11 here today when I counted up ushers and special music and all these kind of folks. So it is great to have you with us. The weather outside is nasty and cold. I had somebody call me up yesterday and say, Pastor, you know, lots of churches are calling off church tomorrow. Are we going to call off church at Good Shepherd? And I said, when's the last time that you can remember Good Shepherd calling off church on Sunday? And there was a little bit of silence and says, I really can't remember the last time we called off church. And I go, okay, there's your answer. So I've been here a little over 20 years. We've called off church two times. And that's when the snow was so deep, we couldn't get down the road. So hopefully that is a constant you can count on. We are thankful for our radio ministry, and I know we have lots of folks that are listening on the radio that normally would get out and be in God's house, but because of the weather or because their church canceled, they're with us today. So welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus. Today is New Year's Eve, and we had to make a decision what readings we were going to have for today because it's the first Sunday after Christmas, also the minor festival of the circumcision of Jesus and the naming of Jesus. Those are all appropriate for today. We decided that since we're not going to have church tonight, that we would focus on New Year's Eve this morning, and we'll focus on the readings for the first Sunday after Christmas this coming Wednesday. So there is a New Year's Eve, almost an old anxiety kind of a feel to our service today with our readings. And yet we're still in the season of Christmas. So you're going to feel Christmas as well. A couple of words on our service. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, Joy to the World, 387. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a special insert for New Year's Eve. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we are on the right page at the right time. And our hymn of the day, our sermon hymn for today, is hymn 899. It is a beautiful hymn with a familiar tune, but it is the only hymn in the hymnal that is especially written for New Year's Eve. So we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts this day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the blessings that You have showered down upon us during this past year. Heavenly Father, as we look to the future, sometimes we are filled with joy and anticipation. Sometimes we are filled with worries and fears. Heavenly Father, teach us today that as we are in Christ Jesus, by grace, through faith, the hopes and fears of all the years are met, completed, and fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. It's in His name, crucified and risen for us, that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 387, Joy to the World.
Divine Service, setting number 3, page 184. Page 184, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit, printed on your bulletin insert. We chant them together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated.
The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third, and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our common Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 899. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Text for our meditation this morning, the words from Romans 8 that are recorded for us, the appointed epistle for this New Year's Eve. If God is for us, who can be against us? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I have a question for you today. Is it cold enough for you? No, I'm serious. Is it cold enough for you? That is a question that somebody might ask on a day like today, when the temperatures are below zero and the wind chills are 20 or 30 below zero. And when somebody asks you that question, they don't really expect an answer. It's called a rhetorical question. If you go online or look in Webster's or some other dictionary, you might get a definition, something like this, of a rhetorical question. A question asked in order to create a dramatic effect or to make a point, rather than to get an answer. When somebody asks you a rhetorical question and you try to answer, you either didn't understand that it was a rhetorical question, or you're just being a smart aleck. One way or the other. Let me give you another example. Earlier this week, I was walking past the vicar's office. I noticed, once again, all of that purple and white, Wildcat, Kansas State paraphernalia everywhere. And I pointed it out. To which the vicar responded, "Oh, by the way, what bowl game is Nebraska playing in this year?" He did not want an answer. He was trying to make a point. My friends, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, especially in the book of Romans, is the master of the rhetorical question. Question after question after question are laid before us in Scripture. These questions are asked not so that we would give an answer. Sometimes they are asked to give dramatic effect to what is to follow. Other times, they're asked simply to make a point. The words that we have recorded for us here in Romans 8, 31 to 39, the end of the chapter, are familiar to many people, Christians and non-Christians alike. People point to this chapter, and especially these last words of this chapter, because they are so filled with comfort, so filled with gospel, so filled with promise. And they're very appropriate as we put 1 year to rest and flip the calendar and go to a new year at midnight tonight. The bottom line question is one simple word. And that word is who? Who? 10 times in these verses that are recorded for us, 10 times we have the word who. And out of these 10 whos, there are basically 3 rhetorical questions. Remember, Romans 8 comes after Romans 7. Romans 7. That chapter in Scripture where the internal struggle in every Christian is laid bare. The great Apostle Paul got a direct vision from Jesus on the Damascus Road. The great Apostle Paul was called to be a missionary to the whole world. And in Romans chapter 7, we see that this great super Christian struggled with sin every day. The good that I should do, I don't do it. The evil that I shouldn't do, I keep right on doing it. And then he asks a rhetorical question at the end of chapter 7. Who can save this wretch that I am? And because some people don't always pick up on rhetorical questions, he says, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone. These words of comfort right here are not some platonic hope up in the air. These are real words of real comfort for real flesh and blood people who struggle with sin. If you don't struggle with your sin, these words really aren't for you. Every true Christian struggles. Some days the struggles are great. Other days the struggles aren't so great. But the struggle is real. The doubts are real. The questions, the worries, the fears are real. These words are chosen for New Year's Eve because the one day out of the year when you're thinking about all of the things in the past, we should be counting our blessings, but instead, what do we normally do? Oh, that 2017, what a miserable year. And we start talking about all the bad things that have happened to us in our world. Oh, I hope the new year is better. We look at the new year, and what do? Instead of asking God to bless what we do and what we're about, we start thinking about all the problems and all the shortcomings. We make resolution after resolution. Statistics show that 92% of them will be gone in 3 weeks. My friends, the struggle with sin is real. And because this struggle is real, God, through Paul, starts out Romans chapter 8 telling us what we need to know. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You hear that? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ is God's code word for faith. God gives us faith in the waters of holy baptism. That's Romans chapter 6. Faith in a real God who took on real flesh and blood and lived and died and rose from the dead for us. That's Romans 3, 4, and 5. As you struggle with sin, God wants you to be confident that Christ is for you and not against you. He wants you to know that as the heat gets turned up in your life, because of your own sin or the consequences of someone else's sin coming against you, that Christ is there for you. And so, three questions. If God is for you, remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If God is for you, who can be against you? This is a rhetorical question, folks. the answer should be clear. If God is for you, no one is against you. Now wait a minute. My personal experience tells me that there are a lot of people against me. God is greater than your greatest enemy. And the greatest enemy is death itself. Christ has overcome all of our enemies, including the grave. The stone-cold body of Jesus was laid in a new tomb. Jesus Christ overcame the grave. He who was dead is now alive, never to die again. It is this same dead and now resurrected Jesus that came to you in the waters of holy baptism. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is for you, it doesn't matter who is against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? My friends, we are tempted in this world that as we live, we think, literally, the grass is greener on the other side. We are tempted to think that somehow God is holding out on us. And so I need to take matters into my own hands. Doesn't matter what God says. Doesn't matter what God wants. I want what I want. And usually, I want it now. When we do that, we always get ourselves in trouble. And when the trouble mounts, and when the problems get overwhelming, who do we blame? God. We look at God as our enemy rather than our friend. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? Remember, the proof that God's answer is real is in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for you. God's Word doesn't stop. Many times in Scripture, when God wants to drive a point home, He'll do it not once, not twice, but we get the Holy Trinity of driving things home three times. And that's what we have here. The second big rhetorical question begins in verse 33. And this is one of those two sides to the same coin questions. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, Romans 3, 4, and 5. Who is to condemn? A charge. An accusation. Who can accuse you? Who is going to bring a charge against you? Who can condemn you? Remember, this is a rhetorical question. The answer, based on everything that we've heard, is no one. No one. Our personal experience tells us something else. We're accused all the time. Sometimes, rightly, because we sin and we're guilty. and we're caught and we're busted. Sometimes we're accused unfairly and unjustly. And it hurts. And it's not fair. And it drives us to despair. This is the reality of a sinful world that we live in. But the greatest problem with accusations and charges and condemnation is when it comes from us. We accuse ourselves. We condemn ourselves. Why? Because we don't believe that the forgiveness won by Jesus is for me. Oh, for others? Sure. But not for me. I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. Do we realize what we're saying when we have those kind of an attitude? That attitude says, I have better words than Jesus. That attitude says, I know more than God. God says, no. No. These accusations, these charges, this condemnation is gone. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Remember Romans 8 verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, because this is so hard to believe. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. My friends, Jesus Christ was condemned because of your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. There is therefore now no condemnation because Christ has been condemned in your place. This holy and divine substitute has taken the hit we deserved. And because Christ was condemned, you are not condemned. You will never be condemned as long as you cling to Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for you. Some people would say that the last or the third rhetorical question in this section is the greatest. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember, folks, this is a rhetorical question. God is making a point. The answer is clear. No one! No one! No one can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. God's love that prompted Jesus to come into this world, to live a perfect life, to die as our substitute on Calvary's cross, to raise victorious from the dead, to ascend into heaven, to come to us in the waters of holy baptism, adopting us as His own, coming to us in and under bread and wine, in the words of forgiveness. The love of Jesus Christ is ongoing and never ending. The love of Jesus Christ is real and tangible. And nothing or no one can separate you from this love. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the situation that I'm in. You don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. God says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And because we are so often so weak that we can't or won't believe His promises, He gives us a laundry list of enemies and things that are attacking and separating you and says, they're all gone. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's how we feel. We're just going through the motions day after day, year after year. We're just waiting for God to call our number and get us out of here. The love of Christ seems far away, unreal, intangible. What does God say? Finally, He does not say who. Now He says, no. No. Don't you dare go there. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am sure, I am certain, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, and if that didn't cover it, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, purer, sweeter gospel has never been spoken. God's love in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are yours. They are yours. You are in Christ Jesus, robed with His righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. By grace, through faith, you are His. In this world, there is sin. In your body, there is sin. Temptation is real. Christ has overcome sin, death, and the devil for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Is it cold enough for you? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our hopes, our fears, our worries, our doubts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are times when the promises of God seem so elusive. And it's at those times, especially, that we need God to create a new heart in us. We stand and sing our offertory. Page 192. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to our many visitors on the radio or on the internet this day. We pray that the love of Jesus Christ, which does not end, would be yours today and forever. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Requests listed in your news and notes. Remember the family of Scott Indiger, whose nephew Brandon DeMars passed away on Christmas Day. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the year that is swiftly coming to a close, in thanksgiving to God for all the good we were permitted to give and receive, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the year that is almost here, that God would continue to watch over us and bless us, and that He would give us opportunity to serve our neighbor and tell others the good news of His Son. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For patience and vigilance as we await the return of Christ, that God would keep us ever faithful and ready with our lamps burning. Always awake, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for our government, military, first responders, and all who serve us, that they would use the authority and responsibility given to them according to God's will, protecting the innocent, administering justice, and providing for the needy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who do not confess the faith, that God would give them opportunity to hear the gospel and believe, and that we would always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, lonely, homebound, and in mourning, especially Lois, Mark, Caitlin, Scott, Raleigh, Connie, Vivian, Aiden, Donna, Deverne, Katie, Marge, LaVon, Diane, Noel and Carol, Charlotte, Celeste, Dell, Ed, Marjorie, Anna, Sherry, Bonnie, Warren, Ralph, Desi, Cleo, Harper, Greg, Martha, the people of Venezuela, the family of Gary and Myrna Heckman's daughter, Louisa, John, Mildred, Sharon, Ken, Doug, and the family of Scott Indiger, mourning the death of his nephew. That God would grant them healing, comfort, and the sure and certain knowledge that nothing can separate them from His love in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune at this altar this day, that the body and blood of Christ would keep them firm in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else You know that we need, we are bold to ask You, O Lord, because You have made us Your people and members of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We turn to the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, You have given us a new revelation of Your glory, that, seeing You in the person of Your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord,
body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
And His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn, number 390. 390.
Thank you.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. We pray God's blessings on the year past and on the year to come. Just a couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed there. No service tonight, but we will do this again at 10:30 today. And if you know of some folks in and around town that can't get out or their church has been canceled, let them know that we'll be here, or they can tune in on the radio, either KFOR, or if they want to hear the whole service live at 95.7. Got a couple of sign-up things in the back. We have the big soup cook-off that's coming. Feels like a soup kind of a day today, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. The information is there, and also the pecan fundraiser is coming up in early February. Got some information out there. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about, 7 minutes or so, and you're all invited for Bible study, coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We've got a little bit of a light crowd today, so if you don't normally stick around for coffee and goodies, it would probably help to get rid of some of the coffee and goodies and juice and things so that some of the rest of us are not forced to be good stewards of the leftovers, if you follow that. That wasn't a rhetorical question either. Okay, we got one Bible study this morning. We've been looking at our study, Justifying Christmas, and the doctrine of justification in the Christmas story. Today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, the very familiar story that we hear every year, and also the culmination of the Charlie Brown Peanuts special, too. The whole world knows that that's what Christmas is about. So we'll have an opportunity to examine that more closely.